Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7 has 27 verses in it, and we're going to study them all as a whole, as a continuous text, because they all have to do with the same subject. Today we're going to study harlotry. So let's get right into the text. We should read it so that you can hear it, and then we'll study it out and look at some things concerning this particular sin. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him, and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs chapter 7 does a thorough job of clearly defining and describing harlotry. And you aren't going to like the description, because there are many who do not consider themselves harlots who are described here. Now, before examining the text, you need to understand this. You need to get this. I mean, it is the most, it's not the most important part, but it is an important part of this whole text. To help you to understand what we're going to be studying today. A woman who gives up her virginity before marriage is considered by God to be a whore. Now, that's not the common understanding of it, and, you know, there are many a man today that's married to a woman who did not use good discretion in her youth and allowed herself to be given to a young man. And she would not consider herself a whore. She's faithfully married to her husband. He would not consider her a whore. He loves her. And I understand all of that. But what we need to understand is God's perception, what God has to say. And the reason we need to understand this is because much of this text is directed to somebody who is not a professional prostitute. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22. Verse 14, so you can see God's definition on this. I realize today the way that our society is, that this seems harsh, particularly if somebody was just in a moment of poor discretion, allowed herself to be given away, and then realized later the mistake, the error, and got everything straightened out. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. Thank God for holiness and for sanctification and for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that said, though, we need to see what the Bible says here so we listen, so we can help the young people of today who have not yet experienced this, so we can help our children, and so that we can get God's perspective on the thing, okay? We don't want to minimize a great sin just because we, in our younger days, may have failed in this area. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 14. And give occasions, oh, see, verse 13 for the context. If a man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, and now here's what he was concerned about. I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. You know what he was concerned about? He was concerned that she had already lost her virginity before they married. Look at verse 20. If this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones, the death penalty, that she die. Why? Because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. She may not have sold herself as a prostitute. She may not have gotten any money for what she did at all. But the Bible says if she lost her virginity, then she hath played the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. You see it? Now realize, like I said, by today's standards and so forth, that seems to be a harsh definition, but you probably remember, you know, reading the Scarlet Letter and remember how terrible the sin of adultery was back in those days, and today it's just commonplace, and that's a sad thing. Now listen, one more time, the woman does not have to prostitute herself for money. She simply has to lie with a man to whom she is not married. And now, with that said, let's go right into the text and see some things concerning harlotry. All right, from the text, harlotry is predominantly, first of all, aimed at youth. Look at verse 7. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. It's predominantly aimed at youth. That's why Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts. The reason is because young men are void of understanding. A lot of old men are too. Let's don't get that wrong. But a lot of young men are void of understanding. So just look what's happened in high school today. Look what's happened in college today. I remember going off to school to train for the ministry, and I came back to my town and began to pastor in a church. And we liked to play tennis. We played before we left, and when we got back, we noticed that the landscape of the school had changed, and guess what we found there? A daycare center. A daycare center for unwed students, mothers, single moms. They were passing out condoms. They do that in the colleges. I remember seeing a note around Valentine's from one of the colleges, and it was from the health center there at the school, and it was a condom, and there was a heart and a little Cupid, and you open it up, and it was a little poem in there, you know, about your, you know, this is the time for making love and all that kind of stuff, and so we just want to make sure that when you do all that, that it's safer. You see how commonplace it is today? You see how it is expected of the youths to do that? As a matter of fact, you'll find parents in Christian homes, and their daughters will get into this situation sometimes, and then they'll say, well, I know, but that's just the way it is with kids today. It's almost like they're condoning it now. Well, it's not right. And children, young people, are not equipped. Physically, they're equipped, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually, they're not equipped for what's going to happen when they give in to the lusts of the flesh. Now, the way to avoid this as a youth or as a young man is by arming yourself with wisdom. That's why the proverb started out and said, my son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. That is the most precious thing that he'll see. He'll love to look at the law of God more than he would a beautiful woman. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know the hardest thing to do with young people, particularly teenagers, is to get the words of God through their eyes, through their minds, and most importantly, down into their hearts, where there is a love for the Word of God that excels above the love for the lust of the flesh. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Why? They'll keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. In other words, they'll hear the words of God more than the flattery of the strange woman, and won't give in to the temptation. So harlotry is predominantly aimed at youth. Don't misunderstand me. There are a lot of older men who want to act like young men that are still into this problem. The second thing about harlotry is that it is predominantly practiced at night. Look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And that's because people feel safer under the cover of darkness. Turn with me to Psalm 74. Psalm 74, and look at verse 20. Psalm 74, verse 20. There's a very interesting verse in Psalm 74, verse 20 about the dark places of the earth. The Bible says the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty, of cruelty. Now what happens here is this. The nighttime comes and the people who are ready to practice harlotry, that is, they want to lie together, they want to sleep together, what they're going to do is they're going to wait for darkness so that they can do this without being caught or discerned or detected. Don't you know something? Haven't you learned something yet? God sees everything. No matter whether it is daytime or nighttime, God sees it all. But nonetheless, men think that by darkness they can cover themselves. So, you know what you got? You've got bars. And you know what the condition of a bar room is? It's dark. It's dark. The shades are pulled at night when people are fixing to practice harlotry. The windows of the automobiles are tinted so that even in the daylight you can't see into the back seat of the car to see what's going on. This thing about nighttime should be a clue to you if you're a parent with children. It is good to have early curfews for kids. It's good to make sure that if they're going to go out with somebody or some of their friends, that you have them home early in the nighttime. That's because generally in the earlier part of the nighttime, and I say generally, this is all very general what we're talking about here, generally in the earlier part of the nighttime, these things are not as prevalent. Later in the night, they're more prevalent. There are many disastrous occurrences as a result of harlotry that come late at night. All you have to do is read the newspaper and check the news from time to time, and you hear of some detestable things that have happened to young women, and detestable things that have happened to young men late in the nighttime because they've gotten into harlotry. You know, you should never be ashamed to tell your children they have to be home earlier than their friends. You're going to probably do them a big favor by doing that. It's really terrible what's going on now in the college campuses. The colleges may not admit the level of problems that they're having, but they're having lots and lots of trouble with drugs and alcohol and sex. The next thing, something also very revealing about harlotry, it is associated predominantly with dress. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. With the attire of a harlot. Now, the attire of a harlot, what is that? Well, it doesn't mean that the girl who dresses that way intends to be a harlot. It just means that when she dresses that way, she looks like one. Kids today dress like Hollywood, and kids today dress like the fashion magazines that come to your house. They show the belly. They have tattoos in provocative places. They wear their shirts about, 4 sizes too small to reveal their chest. They wear makeup that is designed to make them look like a woman of the night. In other words, they do a lot to black the eyes and redden the lips and bright redden the fingernails and all that. So the whole thing is to make them look about 5 years older than they really are. They make themselves look attractive. And smell attractive. If you look at verse 17, I've perfumed my bed, so that they can catch the attention of young men. Well, that's what a harlot does. Now, The Bible says concerning attire, when you read the New Testament, that everything ought to be done in moderation. And concerning attire, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. In modest apparel. That's 1 Timothy 2:9. And with shamefacedness and sobriety. The point of that text is very simple. That a woman should, when she adorns herself in modest apparel, or if you look at the companion text that's over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, if she adorns herself so that the hidden man of the heart can be seen and not the outward appearance of the flesh, then what you're dealing with is a woman who does not dress like the world. You know, the Bible says when you sacrifice yourself, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God, you're not conformed to the world, you see, not conformed. Okay, well, in that case, then, what has to happen, I'll tell you, and it's very, very difficult. I know, for you moms and for the teens and even for the dads, you don't want your daughter to run around and look like a frump. I understand that. And it doesn't say that using a touch of makeup here and there is a bad thing. What's happened is that when a woman intentionally wears her clothes and her hair and her face and her jewelry in such a way that she is not pleasing God, but she is pleasing the eye of the opposite sex, then she is doing exactly what a harlot does. She is purposely attracting the attention of the opposite sex to get attention to herself. And that is disastrous because it is connected with the attire of a harlot. And harlotry is predominantly associated with dress. The way that a woman dresses and paints her face and fixes her hair is a way that she's going to let a man know that she is available to him, you see. Now, I told you, you're not going to like this. I told you at the very beginning of the lesson, you're not going to like the description because there are many people who do not consider themselves harlots who are described in the text. All I'm telling you is just be very careful with this. Harlotry. Predominantly aimed at youth, practiced at night, associated with dress, and then this, started by a kiss. Something very simple. Started by a kiss. Look at verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. It started by a kiss. Now the affection of romance is, according to the Bible, best left for marriage. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that the marriage bed is undefiled. So if you practice harlotry, if you have sex before marriage, then that is defiling. But if you are married and join in the bed, that is not defiling. The marriage bed is undefiled. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The Bible says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. What happens today is that from a kiss to the bedroom is not a long way. Making out, then petting, and then the rest of it. It's just a short distance. Unmarried people dating or courting need to limit their physical contact. Truthfully, you may not believe this, but I know it's so. There are folks that I know that are married now who, when they were dating or who, when they were courting, I know that's an outdated word, but it's a good word. When they were dating or when they were courting, refused to have physical contact during their entire dating relationship. And literally, when the groom raised the veil to kiss his bride, that was literally the first time that their lips ever touched. Now, I know you think that's strange. I realize that. And I realize that you think that's just inconceivable. But let me tell you something. There are people all across this country who are concerned about controlling their own lusts, who, for the sake of their own bodies and for the sake of pleasing the Lord, have decided to limit their physical contact until marriage because they knew that from a kiss they might indulge in more and be ashamed. They wouldn't do it. And there are lots more people doing that than you know. Harlotry also is predominantly advanced by flattery. Look at verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, thou hunk of man, Diligently seek thy face. You're the man. I have found thee. Verse 5 said, she flattereth with her words. Verse 21 says, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. Men are so gullible. We really are. We'll hear somebody give us a great compliment and then just, fall all over ourselves thinking that they're really sincere. You're the man. And a woman can make you feel like you're the best man there ever has been on the whole face of the earth. Now, the trouble is, when she's caught you, she can use that same mouth to literally destroy you. Look at verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Ever known anybody like that? I'm not saying that that's somebody that you are or somebody that you're married to, but have you ever known somebody like that? They just had all this cooing and all this loving affection, and she just said all these wonderful things about him, and now they've been married about 5 years, and I'm telling you, it's all he can do to come home and have to listen to what he's got to listen to when he gets in the door. There are funny jokes about that, and I was reading an illustration recently about that, and says the fella asks the son of a man that recently passed away, well, did your father have any last words? And he said, no, mother was with him right up to the end. It's kind of funny. You've seen things like that. Harlotry. Harlotry is predominantly, according to the text, mistaken for love. Look at verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Harlotry is not love. It's sex. It's sex. It's lust. It's not love, it's lust. They call it puppy love. It's not puppy love. You know what puppies do. That's not love. That's just that. What? It's just the fulfillment of a very basic carnal desire. Love is far greater than anything that can be satisfied by sexual involvement. Certainly when two people are in love and they're married, they will have sexual involvement. But love goes beyond that sexual involvement to things that are far deeper, a satisfaction in the depths of the heart and soul that could never be matched by the mere carnality of a sexual relationship. It's not love. And when a young man says to a young woman, I love you, and his intentions are to lie with her, that's not love. It's lust. And never mistake the two. Harlotry. Harlotry is also, according to the text, equated with adultery, verse 19 and 20. She says to him, the goodman is not at home. See, her sugar daddy, or the goodman, the guy that's providing for her, is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She knows when he's coming home because he's got the day appointed. He's got a business trip out of town. You know, he leaves on Monday, comes home on Friday. So she knows that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, she's free to frolic around like she wants to because he's not going to be home to find out about it. This woman is a married woman, and she's not satisfied to wait for the return of her husband. She's on the prowl for another man. And I'm telling you, this is so common in corporate and military America that it's not even funny. Secretaries with bosses and employees with employees, even with all the sexual harassment laws and all that other kind of stuff to kind of stop this and contain it, it doesn't stop. It is so difficult for men and women in the same workplace, particularly when they're associated with each other more hours during the day, waking hours during the day, than they are at home with their own spouses and families. It's very, very difficult for them to contain themselves, particularly when they find themselves attractive. And harlotry is predominantly equated with adultery. In other words, the people marry and they intended to give each other vows to last forever, but they can't stand it. The next thing you know, she's out on the prowl looking for another man because she's not happy with her man at home. And what do you expect? She's with her boss, or she's with this friend or this fellow or whatever the casual meeting is, more than she is with her own husband at home. And listen, at home, there's the bills and there are the finances and the kids and all the other responsibilities of the household. And with this guy that she's hooked up with out there, there aren't any responsibilities. No conditions to tie them down and disrupt their sexual relationship. Harlotry is also, according to the text, concluded by death and damnation. Death and damnation. Look at verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Go to a slaughterhouse and see how it is, man. One cow right behind the next until they get whapped in the head and then, you know, eviscerated and butchered and packaged and sold and eaten. As an ox goeth to the slaughter. Doesn't even know what's going to happen to him. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver. It's deadly. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. The bird sees the food on the ground, and the snare is set, gets down there, starts to eat, doesn't even have any clue that it's about to be trapped. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men, Samson. Yea, many strong men, David. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Death and damnation. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And you say, is the death penalty really prescribed for adultery in the Bible? Yes, in both testaments. I said, yes, in both testaments, Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Wow. Verse 23, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, she's just engaged, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then shall ye bring them both out unto the gate of the city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. Death penalty. The exception is in verse 29, when she's a virgin not betrothed and he lies with her, then he's got to marry her. Well, that slow down some of this high school frolicking around, wouldn't it? You know, these stories that you hear of girls that now have kids by three different men. Strange. Well, according to the text here, she'd have to marry the first one, raise up her kids with him. That'd certainly be an improvement over what's going on now. Romans chapter 1, New Testament, in case you were wondering, still prescribes the same thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 talks about fornication in the midst of a lot of other sins. And then verse 32 of Romans chapter 1 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Well, there you go. Harlotry. Aimed at youth. Take care of the kids. Associated with dress. Watch how they dress. Started by a kiss. Limit that physical activity. Mistaken for love. And concluded by death and damnation, plus the other things that we said. This sin is destroying our youth. It's destroying our nation. And the fashion magazines, the cosmetics companies, the clothing stores in Hollywood are all big contributors to their fall, all for the sake of a buck. The love of money is the root of all evil.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.